in the
kerosene lamp fell.
Yes, and the food was all over the floor. The plates, they all fell, and all of them broke. And the kerosene lamp was lit, so it started a fire. So here my brother just and my father, they all ran. They had to get buckets of water to put this fire out. And so then they had to put water on the stove to, you know, because it was still, the coals were still burning in there. And the shots kept coming, one right after another.
The shots?
Yes, right after shots, you know. That, and everybody was, you know, nobody knew what was, you know, what was happening. So we all got right in the middle of the yard. It was a great big yard. And the boss, the Japanese, his family, and everybody, they all came down. And the other neighbors, they all came outdoors. We didn't dare stay in the house. Mm. And so we slept outdoors. And about, way late at night, my brother got hungry. And so he went in the house, and there was still some food in one of the pans. He got this dish had broken in half, so he got half a dish and put some food in there so he could eat. Everything was just, it's really, he could, we didn't even dare go inside the house. We were afraid to. And all these people, everything was so dark, no lights or nothing. And all these people were driving. They were leaving town. Everybody was leaving town. Since we were, you know, between the two, Stanton and Los Alamitos, all the people from Los Alamitos were moving out to the mountains. They were all going away because it said that the ocean was going to, supposed to, you know, take over. And they didn't want to drown. And this man here in Los Alamitos, he says that he took off and he left his service station. He says, anybody can come and get up. He says, I'm leaving. I'm not waiting. So anybody that had a car could come and fill up their tank so they could leave town. So a lot of people left town. They just went out to higher, you know, higher
wow.
higher ground where they were supposed to escape the flood that was coming, you know. But that was really awful.
Yeah.
And Joseph, his mother and sisters, they all left, but they stayed.
Mm-hmm.
It says most of them left at the ranch, most of the workers.
Mm-hmm.
They all got the care and they left and went to higher ground they were looking for. But they came back in a couple of days. They were back at the same too. But this, they just...
Mm-hmm.
That was the worst one that, you know, we had ever been in.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hardly feel it. I didn't know it was even happening. I was up in San Marino, which is 30 miles away, you know. And I never even remember that earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
know. Well, I think it hit worse here in Long
Beach. Oh, this is the center of it.
Yeah, the center of it. Because I know that our church, St. Isidore's, part of it fell, being brick. I know the priest was in church because they were preparing to have evening services. And he was hurt.
Why?
Yes, he was hurt. Some of the brick fell on his head and his forehead.
It's a brick church?
It had brick. Now it's, I really don't know how, just, not because it's plastered, so I really don't know what.
Where is St. Isidore?
It's just right here in the corner of the next street, Riga.
Oh.
It's just right here about a block away.
I'm about to go see it.
Oh, it has, they have a remodeler. It's really,
how do you spell Isidore?
St. Isidore, it's S-T for St. Isidore, and I-S, no, I-S-A-D-O-R-E.
Isidore.
Yeah, St. Isidore.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and
I have some... Oh, yes, your pictures.
I have some pictures here that, I treasure those pictures. I treasure these pictures here. Do you have one like that?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes. Isn't that wonderful? The cook at the Coho took that in 52.
Oh, that's... What about this one?
Oh, yes, I have that one, too. I adore that.
I bet you don't have this one.
Oh, Lord! That's Frederick and my mother in 62. My God.
That was when they had the dedication
Santa Ranch?
Well, the dedication was 68.
Wasn't it?
Was it 62 that said. The dedication party was in 68. Oh, yeah. Could that have been her Mrs. Bixby's wedding, golden anniversary?
No, the golden wedding was 48. This might have been a meeting of some kind, like a historical society, because I noticed all the chairs there, or a lecture, or something like that. It says August
62.
Hmm.
Well, it was some kind of dedication they had.
That's a marvelous picture.
Oh, it's coming up so nice.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's Mrs. Lavoni.
That was taken,
that's Mrs. Arne.
This
is 54.
That's
such a beautiful picture.
That?
I don't have that one. That's so lovely. It's standing in front of her Spanish fountain. Mother has this little figure now on our fish pond in San Marino.
Nice?
Oh, this is such a darling picture,
Granny. It really is. And
you have the other one too, Trip with Father?
No, I don't.
Oh, I'll send you. Would you like that
one? Oh, I would love to.
Oh, I'll send one to you. Merry Christmas to Joe and Angie Cisneros, who were at so many of these Christmas trees. It's a beautiful.
Oh, and you know what? My neighbor, she's involved with museum here at Los Caminos, and all this historical. And I loaned him to her. So she could see him. Mm-hmm. Oh, she was so crazy. She wanted to see him. This was given to us. This is May 1653.
Now that's what that 62 was. That was the marking. Now maybe that had to do with this historical marking.
Yeah, because I knew it was some special event. Then that's probably when it was
taken,
because I remember it.
Historical marking and dedication.
Yes.
Oh, this is a wonderful historical marking and dedication on Friday, September 8th, 1961 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6511 East 7th Street, Long Beach, California. When it was proclaimed an historical place, because my grandfather was. Oh no, that's Fred.
Yes.
See, he changed his name back to Fred.
To Fred.
To be like his dad. History of the Rancho Lencina. Benediction. La Casa, that's when they had the plaque here.
Mm-hmm.
La Casa de Rancho Los Alamitos, built circa 1806. Portion of Rancho Los Nietos land grant to Don Manuel Nieto in 1784. Owners were, and my mother doesn't like this list because she says they left out somebody. First Don Juan Jose Nieto, 1804. These are the owners. And then Governor Jose Figueroa in 1834. Don Abel Stearns in 1942, and then in 1866, Michael Reese was the owner. And Mother doesn't like that they left him out.
Oh, they left him out.
And then John W. Bixby, 1881, and then Fred Hathaway Bixby, 1906. Historical marking and dedication by Admission Day Committee, Native Sons and Daughters of the Golden West, September 8, 1961. Gee, that's something. Oh, and it's the history of Long Beach. Oh,
this is was the invitation for when they.
I'm going to see Jesus tomorrow.
Oh,
I'm going to interview him tomorrow with Salvador interpreting for me.
It's going to be fun.
Now, Ralph died, didn't he?
Because I never did see him anymore, so I never knew. Oh, did he die?
Yes.
Oh.
The Bixby Ranch Company and Bixby family invite you to attend a reception in honor of Mr. Jesus Vasquez and Mr. Ralph Peralta on the occasion of their retirement, to be held at Rancho Los Alamitos Saturday afternoon, October 10th at 5 o'clock. This would be 1970, wouldn't this? Isn't this 1970?
Yes.
1970. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still have mine. I love that woodcut.
Oh, yes. And all the barbecues they used to have on that yard, you know, and right in the front and the lawn.
Gosh.
Those
are one. Now, these are the pictures that Pauline DeGrange gave me. These are the Shire horses.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And then this is the,
horse show?
This is about 1939 and an auction.
Is
the Anaheim side of the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And that roof, I think, is the Vasquez's house, the top house on the hill there. That became the Vasquez's house.
Yeah, because Red used to live there before.
Oh, Red did?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Red used to live
on the
there.
Last house at the furthest top of the hill.
Yes.
Red was the horse breaker? Who was he?
He was a truck driver.
The truck driver?
Mm-hmm. I never knew whatever happened to him.
I don't know either.
Once I left the ranch, I never did see him again.
And this is the office, and then all the
cars.
And then this is more of the sale at the auctioneer's platform. And this is Thelma McKinley, Burt Bell's assistant, 1932. This is Don Aiken. Remember Don Aiken?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yes, I remember him.
Now, I don't know what this group is. This is 1930. You weren't on the ranch then, or late 1930s. This was a school group in the Friendly Garden. I don't know what it was.
Hmm. Well, you know what? This could have been taken when, because later on, afterwards, they would have tours of the ranch. They would bring buses from the school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some schools.
In the late 1930s?
This was later, in about late 50s.
Mm-hmm. Well, this would be 30s.
Oh, 30s. Yeah. Yes, you know, they would bring buses from the schools to tour the ranch, and Joe would be the guide. And he would take them all over the ranch, and what they loved to do would be go to the into the hay, and jump from the big stacks, and all. And he said that those children used to have so much fun, and what used to make me laugh, and I used to ask him, what does Mrs. Bixby say about these letters? Because the teachers would make them all send a thank you. Everybody would write a thank you letter, but you know what? They weren't. They weren't directed for Mrs. Bixby. They were to Joe.
Dear Joe, thank you for showing us your ranch.
Your ranch, yes. Yes. So they would. I mean, Mrs. Bixby would get them. Then she would give them to Joe to read. She would let him, and then Joe would bring him home. He says, "Look what the kids wrote." And that used to make me laugh. And I said, "What did Mrs. Bixby say about that?" He says, she just laughed. He says, Joe, thank you for letting us come to your ranch. We had such a wonderful time.
Oh, God.
Do you know that in Long Beach, nobody knew Joe's last name? They used to call him Joe Bixby.
Yes.
Nobody knew him by his last name. The way I found out one time for Christmas, they used to go to this East Long Beach. They used to go to the shoe shop to get a... That's when Mr. Bixby used to buy his boots and all that. And I went in there because I wanted to get him some slippers for Christmas, you know. And I had to order them. And so he said the name. I said, I want it for Joe, you know. And the man knew him real well, you know. He knew me. He said, fine. And then I said, it's an order. I write it down. I said, Joe Cisneros. He says, Joe Cisneros? He says, you mean the Bixby? The Bixby? Oh. The one from Bixby? I said, yes. He says, you know what? That's the first time I ever heard his last name. He says, we all know him by Joe Bixby. The grocers and everybody says, here, everybody calls him Joe Bixby. Because he's from Bixby, so we call him Joe Bixby.
Oh, my God.
He comes and takes the laundry and everything, and so they put Joe Bixby will pick it up.
Oh, wonderful.
And but these letters now, the ones from the school kids, I used to get a big kick out of them.
Oh.
Nobody would thank Mrs. Bixby for, they would all thank Joe. And I thought, that is. Yeah, so they had those.
How tall was Joe?
Oh, he wasn't very tall. He was only about 5'8" at most.
Mm-hmm.
He was short.
How tall are you?
5'3".
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm 5'4". Excuse me, I'm 5'4", and he was about 5'7" or 7 or 8. But now my boys, all of them are way taller than what he was.
Do you suppose that, did Joe always tend to be plump?
I think so.
Did he have a sweet tooth? Did he love sweets?
Yes, he used to love sweets.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. So he was always on the hand. He had always been on the hand side.
Mm-hmm.
But toward the last, when they discovered diabetes, that's when he was really heavy. Got really just too heavy, That's when they found they discovered he had diabetes. He lost some weight later on, but afterwards he had no choice. He had to stay on the diet, but it was too late. And he used to say, "Why? Why is it that I can't get any better? Why I'm doing everything the doctor mm-hmm. tells me to do?" I said, "Yes, but you're doing it kind of late. There's nothing that could be done." And I just worry so much about my children getting it too,
They have all different things now for diabetes, Angie.
Mm-hmm.
It can be cured now.
But, still, and like most of my children, they have it coming from, most of them have it for both sides of the family.
Oh, gee. Your side has diabetes?
No, I mean, for instance, my oldest son, his father-in-law has it. So that means it would be on Tom's, on his side of the family and on his wife's side of the family.
Well, there's so many new things that to
yes,
be done
that
now.
Could be done.
Not like when Joe had it.
Oh, no, at that time.
And Joe, and you said you kind of agreed with this, that there was some kind of connection between Joe's leaving the ranch and the death of my grandfather and the death of my grandmother and his decline.
Yes, I think they all, it was just too much to take, he really looked on them as, he knew him as, I would say almost like a second father. Well, he didn't know his father, because he was about 6 years old when his father died, so. I guess he looked on him more like a second father and a mother, and being born and raised there all his life. Because I was there 29 years at the ranch.
Oh, 29 years, and Joe was there all his life?
All his life.
How old was he when he died?
He was 50 years old.
Mm-hmm. I just, get the feeling that he was so wrapped up in the ranch that when he couldn't live there anymore, there was just, the life went out.
Yes, that's the way I see it too, It's just like he just gave up, He couldn't work anymore. He wasn't used to that. He wasn't used to not being able to be the head of the family, support his family, and, in fact, just before he died, a year or so before, we had plans on building a house right here in the corner, building a house for us. Because when we moved into the old house so that we could get the rent from this house mm-hmm. to live on to help us, pay doctor bills and all of that. So then he says, well, maybe we can build a house, because he was getting disability then. Build a house in the corner and in the back, build an apartment. They gave us they sketched the blueprints and all of that. He says, well, the man says, well, you can pay with the rent, you can pay for your home. With what's coming in, it pays for itself. So they talk him into it. You know, they saw him that it would really be nice. So we were going to have a three-bedroom home in the front and then a two-bedroom apartment in the back. And we took the deed and everything just ready for him to sign. And he backed out of it. He says, I don't think I'm better. He says, because if I don't leave anything to you, he says, I know I don't have long to go. He knew it. So he says, if I don't leave anything for you, I don't want to leave any debt. So he says, I must do that. He says, I don't want you to worry afterwards about making payments.
So he didn't want to get the family.
That's why I didn't get my house over there.
Would you have rather the house had been started? And
well, no, you know, because that would only made it, I think, that would only made it harder on him worrying about it. You know, he would have worried. Because all he's worried, that was one of his main, he had to, he just worried, he was the worry type. He would worry all the time. He would just worry about making ends meet and, you know, so. So that's, so in a way I was glad we didn't do it because at least he didn't have to be worrying, you know, have that pressure, you know. Okay, thank you. And so in a way I was glad we didn't do it because at least he could relax and he had to be worrying about making the next payment and this and that. If he says, well, he never wanted me to work. The only place I went to work was there at the ranch, you know, just to help out. He never wanted me to work.
So this hospital work that you've been doing was since his death.
Oh, it was that, yes. I always liked nursing, and since I didn't know anything else, so I took a nurse's aid course, you know, and so when I went to work, my daughter and my son, says, Mom, how come you're going to work in the hospital? He says, well, didn't you have enough taking care of my dad? He says, didn't you have enough? He says, God, it seems to me like that would be the last thing you wanted to do.
But you enjoy it.
Yes. And I says, well, because 2 years before I worked as a sales lady in a jewelry store. And, oh, it was so boring.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so boring. I didn't like that. And, there at the hospital, boy, you really keep busy. And I like my work. I enjoy doing it. And
is it well paid?
Well, not really. Mm-hmm. Not for all the work you do. Mm-hmm. See, the ones that get good pay are the RNs and the LBNs. The ones that are licensed, those are the ones.
What were you paid?
I started at 260 an hour, and then when I start to work, and here you are, when I quit, I was getting about $4.35 an hour. But really, for what they charge, and the work you do, they don't.
Nice.
And see, and the nurses, they are the ones that do all the what you call the dirty work.
Sure.
RNs, they just, especially RNs, all they do is come and give shots, medication, or I'll just tell you. You do that, or
not much at all.
See, what I didn't like was, like during the week, when they had plenty of help, we couldn't do treatments. I mean, we weren't allowed to do treatments. Mm-hmm. But like on the weekends, when they were short of help, they would have us do the treatments. I said, well, why can't they just let us do them all the time, and so we know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just whenever they didn't have the help, then we would do what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, right. You miss not being able to work?
Well, I do, but now I'm kind of getting used to being at home because I keep busy.
What do you do?
Well, you should sewing or reading or cleaning house, cooking, and so. But I go out and sometimes it's my friends, so they come over. We go for walks, or just not too busy.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Have you always sewn, Angie? Do you like to sew?
Yes, I like to sew.
Did you used to make clothes?
Yeah,
for your
I used
kids?
To make all my girls' clothes until they were teenagers, where they didn't like my.
Like Mother's Day.
Yeah, like my homemade dresses. They went out.
So you had a sewing machine. Then.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. I had a sewing machine. Yes, I used to make all the dresses when they went to school, when they were in the, you know, in the grammar school afterwards. No, they wouldn't wear my dresses anymore.
Did they go to Bryant Wilson?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And Jefferson.
And Jefferson.
And all your kids finished high school?
Yes, they all finished high school, and Tom and Fred, they went to college. They graduated from college. Martha, my oldest, from Long Beach State, Martha, my oldest, she graduated from high school, then she went to business college, mm-hmm. and now Burgie, the youngest, she was the one that didn't like school. In fact, she didn't even want to finish high school. The last year, she says, "Mom, do I have to finish high school?" She says, "Well, what I want to do, I want to be a hairdresser or a telephone operator." She says, "For that, I don't need a high school diploma." So I says, "Well, fine. It's okay with me. You want to quit? Go ahead and quit, but just tell your dad." And she says, "Yes, you know what he'll say to that." I says, "Okay, then don't say anymore." Because that's one thing she says. He says, your mom and I, we never had an education. He says, "But you kids, you're going to get an education whether you like it or not." He says, "All of you have to finish high school. After that, if you don't want to go to college or go to business college, I think it's up to you. But you have to finish high school." So she knew it.
What was that last name, Burgie?
Burgie. We call her Burgie.
Oh, Burgie.
Uh-huh.
That's Virginia.
Virginia. So we call her Burgie.
Burgie.
Yeah. So I said, "Okay, don't tell me. Just tell your dad." He said, "Yes, you know what he'll say to that." So Martha, she went right to work from. They sent her to work from college. They sent her to an office to work at as an insurance secretary. And then Virginia, when she graduated from high school, she said she wanted to be a bookkeeper.
And Martha, you say went to college?
To business college. And then Virginia, when she finished high school, she said, "Well, I think I want to be a bookkeeper." So Joseph says, "Okay, fine. You go to business college." So she started, and Joe bought all her books that she needed. Oh, she only went about 2 or 3 months. She hadn't taken in shorthand in high school, so it was hard for her, you know. She needed shorthand, and she didn't know how to do shorthand. So then, and then one day she says, "Mom," she says, "you know what? I've been looking in the ads, and all the bookkeepers they want, they have to be 35 years or older. So when am I going to get a job?" She says, "I don't think I want to be a bookkeeper." So then she decided it was too hard. She wasn't doing it, you know. So Joe says, "Okay, it's no use keeping you in school if you're not, you know, if you're not going to do anything, just waste your time." She says, "Well, I want to go to beauty college." She says, "That's what I wanted to do anyway." Mm-hmm. She always wanted to be a beauty operator. So she says, "Okay, you go to beauty college, but I'm paying by the week. I'm not paying for the full."
Good.
"I'm not paying for the full course like you did now. See, I went and bought all your books and everything, and so now she sold them at half price, and they were brand new books."
Oh.
And I said, so now I'll just pay for the week, because you might change your mind." And so she did. Well, she graduated from beauty school, and but she got married right after that. She went and got married. Mm-hmm. She worked for a short time, and afterwards she had a little girl, then a little boy, and was working only part time. But now that she's married, they had two kids, teenagers. Now she's a teacher. She started going to school, and
what does she teach?
She teaches the preschool children.
Oh, I used to do that.
And she went she started as a teacher's aide.
Oh.
She started working as a teacher's aide and going to college, taking at night school, going to night school, taking courses and all of that study. And then she says, gosh, she says, my dad could only see me now.
Gee,
he says, all the trouble that I gave. She says, all the trouble that I gave. And she says, all the trouble that I gave him. And now look at me, staying up nights, doing my homework.
Yeah.
And so she graduated. She got her bachelor's degree. She graduated.
Great.
And so now, from a teacher's age, she went to a teacher, not just teaching. And she's still going to school. After not wanting to go to school, you know, she says, why do kids have to be so dumb and don't do what they wait so much time? I said, yeah, you waited until you were married and had children. It makes it harder now.
You're a beautiful family.
It makes it harder now. So yeah, she's a teacher now. Mm-hmm. And Freddie, I don't know where they got it from, because Tom has his master's and everything to teach. He graduated as a teacher. And Freddie, that's what he was going to do. He was going to be a teacher, but they both ended up working for the Douglas Oil Company. But they have nice jobs.
Great.
Uh-huh.
Great. And where'd you meet your present husband? What's his name, by the way?
Rafael.